14. Madame Angelique Panda's Townhouse, City of Zion, the Temple Lands. Soft music drifted through the luxuriously appointed sitting room. Richly attired men, most in cotton silk and steel thistle silk cassocks, several in the orange of Vickers, sat or stood around the room, holding wine glasses or snifters of brandy. Business was always good at Madame Angelique's, and never better than during the winter months, when the citizens of Zion turned inevitably to inside occupations. Young women, of all castes of complexion but uniformly lovely, sat or stood with their guests, chatting easily, laughing. All of them were tastefully dressed, most with elegantly understated cosmetics. Anything less like the popular concept of prostitutes would have been difficult to imagine. Which was precisely why Madame Angelique had always been so successful. No vulgarians among her young ladies, no common or crude or coarse conversation, no lowbrow humor. Madame Angelique's courtesans were all intelligent, lively, well-educated. They were encouraged to read, to follow the latest news, to discuss any subject which might arise with combined wit and tact. They attracted only the very highest quality clients, and it was known throughout the temple hierarchy that Madame Angelique's ladies were unfailingly discreet. Angelique's standards were high, but no higher than the ones she'd met during her own working girl days, and it was astounding how many members of the vicarate stood on intimate terms with her, even today. Now she made her way across the room, pausing for a brief word here and there with those she knew particularly well. A graceful caressing touch upon a shoulder, a chaste kiss on a cheek for the more favored, a laughing smile, a jest for others. No one looking at her could have guessed she felt the least concern about anything. Of course, one of the very first requirements of a successful courtesan was acting ability. Her head turned as she caught movement out of the corner of one eye, and then an eyebrow rose as a well-dressed man she'd never before seen entered the room. He was tall, clean-shaven, with hazel eyes. His brown hair was a bit longer than current Zion fashion dictated, pulled back in a simple ponytail confined by a jeweled clasp, and the heavy, snow-dusted overcoat he'd just handed to the porter was trimmed with a mountain slash lizard's white winter pelt. A heavy golden chain around his neck and equally golden rings on his well-manicured fingers were additional indications of affluence, and Angelique's still lovely brow furrowed slightly in speculative interest. "Excuse me," she murmured to her current conversational partner. "I believe I see someone I should be greeting, Your Eminence."
"Certainly, my dear," the archbishop to whom she'd been speaking replied.
"Thank you," she said, smiling warmly at him. She drifted gracefully towards the newcomer, who was looking about him, not obtrusively but with obvious interest. He spotted her approach, and she smiled once again, more broadly, as she extended a slim hand.
"Welcome," she said simply.
"Thank you," he replied in a pleasant tenor voice. He lifted her hand gallantly to his lips and kissed it. "I have the pleasure of addressing Madame Angelique herself, I hope?" he asked.
"Indeed you do, sir," she acknowledged. "And you are?"
"Abraham Jevons." He bowed slightly, and she nodded. He spoke with a slight but recognizable Desnarian accent, she thought.
"Are you a visitor to our city, Master Jevons? Please call me Abraham."
White teeth flashed in a charming smile, and his hazel eyes smiled at her as well.
"Indeed I am. Has my accent given me away? Do I sound too rustic?" "Oh, hardly rustic, Abraham."
Her silvery laugh was as charming as all the rest of her.
"But I did seem to detect at least a little accent. Desnarian? Almost.
His smile turned just a bit impish.
Silkayan, actually.
Oh, forgive me.
Her laugh was a little louder this time. Many citizens of the Grand Duchy of Silkaya resented being identified as Desnarians.
There's nothing to forgive, he assured her. And if there were, it would be my pleasure to extend that forgiveness to someone as charming as yourself.
You don't seem to have been stinted upon charm yourself, Abraham, she observed.
My parents would like to think not, at any rate.
May I ask what brings you to Zion at this time of year?
Angelic grimaced delicately.
While I would never question the Archangel's judgment, I've sometimes wondered what they were thinking to place the temple somewhere with Zion's winter climate.
It does make travel to the city a bit arduous at this time of year,
he acknowledged with a slight shrug.
Unfortunately, business required my presence here. And however arduous the journey, the company waiting at the other end of the trip has certainly made it worthwhile.
I'm glad you think so. Shall I introduce you to one of my young ladies?
Angelic's tone was as courteous and gracious as ever, yet somehow it contrived to make it perfectly clear that her own working days were behind her. Jevons seemed amused by the implication.
I think that would be a very good idea, he said. I do trust, however, that we'll have the opportunity for at least a little more conversation.
Oh, I'm sure we will, she assured him,
taking his hand and tucking it into her own elbow with a proprietary air as she led him across the sitting room towards a stunningly attractive, blue-eyed, golden-haired young woman.
Abraham, allow me to introduce Marlis.
Angelic said.
Marlis, this is Abraham. He's just arrived from Silkaya.
Really?
Marlis gave Jevons a dazzling smile.
Oh, I know why Madame introduced you to me, Abraham.
So do I,
Jevons replied as he recognized her own considerably stronger accent.
Do I detect the accent of Silktown itself?
You do indeed.
Angelic assured him, passing his captive hand across to Marlis.
I thought you might find it comforting this far from home.
Oh?
Jevons smiled broadly.
I'm sure I'll find it very comforting.